All righty. You got it. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. Bible says, everyone. Would you say everyone?
Everyone.
You know what everyone means in the Greek? It means everyone. Yeah, that means everybody here. Everyone must submit himself. Ladies, you don't get an out on that. That himself is just a neutral, a gender unbiased male-ism that applies to both females and men. So everybody must submit themselves to the governing authorities. For there is most authorities. Is that what that says there? Get your Bible? No, it says there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. He kind of says it again there. Consequently, he who rebels against the authorities, rebelling against what God has instituted. Don't do it. He says, and those who do so will bring judgment upon themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant and agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes. For the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue, then respect. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another, for he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. Lord, we come to you this morning, knowing that you are mighty and awesome, and knowing that your word is a stumbling block. Lord, help us not to stumble this morning, Lord, as we come to these challenging verses. Let us not skip over them, but let us understand your great plan for us and our position in it. In Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Well, how many of you guys skipped church on Wednesday? Wow, man, it's been like, looked around up here and even the worship team was gone. Now, if you don't know, we had a police action here on Wednesday night. And the police and SWAT team were arrayed with their guns out at the house across the street. And I came back. I went someplace. I don't remember where I went. I went to buy some stuff for my class on Wednesday night. Came back, and I see this police car at an angle, and the guy's standing like this. And I'm thinking, wow, man, they got some guy, you know, right there. I'm like, wait, there's nobody in that car. So anyway, I figure out, oh, it's up at the house. And they're doing their stuff, the bullhorn, and worship team is up here. Lisa's sick, so she's not here. And they're all practicing. And then Ann comes up and says, I don't know if you guys should be practicing. Because those windows, I don't know if those windows are going to stop bullets. And they all, I found them downstairs. I'm like, what's up, man? I mean, no practice, what's up? And they're like, hey, come on. Wise as serpents, harmless as doves, right? Yeah, we're being smart here today. And it's like 5 o'clock. And I go to the guy who's standing down there at the bottom and say, hey, I understand you guys got some stuff going on, but I want to let you know that I got about 100 people going to be showing up here in about an hour. And he's like, well, okay, you know, we're trying to, it's like, I just want to let you know, you know, you might want to step this up a little bit. You know, let's get the bad guy gone, because we got all these people in the parking lot just watching and all that kind of stuff. Well, word went up the line of chain of command, and all of a sudden, no, there's not going to be 100 people. Because what they did was they extended their yellow tape from this side of the street to the other side of the street. Oh, nobody's going into the church. We're closing you down tonight. Well, at about 10 to 6, they throw a flashbang in there, and get the guy, and they're all gone But we have closed down the service. Now, I could have been ticked. I could have said, you know what? I understand you got a situation, but you closed us down. Who can I talk to? I want to talk to the lieutenant. I want to talk to the captain. I'm going to talk to the city council. I'm going to talk to the mayor. I'm going to talk to somebody because this just was not right. But I would not have been conforming to Romans chapter 13. Title of today's message, I thought it would be different. You know, Paul laid out the basis for God's mercy in our lives through the first 11 chapters in Romans. And then in Romans 12, he shifts gear. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of the first 11 chapters of Romans, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. We talked about this last week. By God's mercy, he calls us out of darkness and into light. Are you in the light this morning?
Yes.
Are you glad that Jesus died on the cross for you? Amen? And I have been set free from sin, and life is better. Amen? I know my life is better. I got a wonderful wife, good kids. I got all kinds of good stuff going on. And you know, and that is what I signed up for. I don't want to have any more drama of sin in my life. Amen? It's like, man, I've been torn up from the floor up. I am just done. I'm so tired. I'm ready to turn my life over to the Lord, and I want it to be good. And Paul says that I need to live my life as a living sacrifice. And realistically, I thought it was going to be different. I was signing up for the good stuff. Not a sacrifice. Take a breath, and Paul gives us the details on being a sacrifice. He says, you know what? Each one of you... Oh, so we got one person left already. That's what happened, man. Just start talking about this uphill climb, people just start leaving. That's okay. But, no, I don't know why that person went, but God says, everyone, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you have received a spiritual gift. If you have not, you have the front end of that gift that the Lord has created you for a position and a place in the church. Last week, I gave out spiritual gift tests, and they all went. I have more up here today, a spiritual gift inventory. People were taking these gifts, and at the end of service, I saw people walking out with a gift, and I saw Sandra Lamar walking out. And I said, Sandra, you know, and this girl, she's coming on Wednesday nights, and she's coming on Monday nights to celebrate. And I'm saying, you know what, you get enough church, you know, God's gifted you for a place. I'm going to have you talk with Ann about getting involved in the teaching ministry. And, you know, there's a little smile came on her face. And we're working that out. She was here yesterday early setting up for the ladies' event that Julie Camacho put on. You know, and the Lord will gift you for a position to serve. Steve, back there in the back, a reluctant warrior going to be at the grill today. You can pat that guy on the back and say, we thank you for your service. Each person gifted. You say, wait a minute, I got to live a life of sacrifice? I got to live a life of service? Yes. 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 So if you didn't take that test, you don't know what your spiritual gift is? Take it. Serve and be blessed. Paul moves on from there. Says, practice hospitality. Now, if you don't know what that means have people into your house. You say, wait a minute, this is not what I signed up for. I just signed up for the gravy train. I don't want to be a sacrifice. I don't want to work, and I don't want to have nobody coming into my house. Keeps on going. That's only half of chapter 12. Paul says, bless those who persecute you. What? Jesus puts it very clear. Love your enemies. Wait a minute. That's what a life of sacrifice is about, folks. So we move from a life of sacrifice, serving in the church, opening your home, loving those who despitefully use you. So we're moving from the Lord to the church to the people around you to your enemies. And next up is the government. Paul says, submit to the authorities. And it is so easy to discount that. Yeah. Pay your taxes. Don't speed. Okay. You know, I've preached Romans 12 a lot of times. I just closed down the whole chapter from there on. Because it's just so deadly. You know, 14 is pretty cool. I'm going to be preaching on that next week. But 13, really? Speeding? Come on. I know taxes. Many of you can't wait till tax day because you get so much money. It just doesn't resonate. Unless, of course, you go, wait a minute. Their government was Rome. Think about that for a second. The Romans were not kind. The Romans were brutal. Now, if you were going to have a church growth symposium that Paul and Peter would have come to, I don't know. For instance, if we were in China, a church growth symposium says, do everything that the Chinese government says. Say, wait a minute, I thought it was going to be different. I thought we were going to overthrow the government. I thought we were going to have this great government. In fact, if Paul was really going to whittle down the church, he would say, we want you guys not only to love your enemies, but we want you guys to submit to everything the Romans say. What? I'm out of here. I'm going to go be a Buddhist or something, you know? Why? Because in 49 AD, this is written mid-60s, maybe 15 to 20 years earlier, Claudius had ordered all the Jews out of Rome because they were fighting over this guy named Crestus. Now, the Christians were viewed as a subshoot or a little subsect of the Jews. So basically, Claudius was saying, all you Christians out of here, all you Jews out of here. And guess what happened when they left? They lost their homes, they lost their businesses, lost their property, lost everything. Now, I dare say, I'm ignorant. Who's our mayor? Anybody? Who? Faulkner. Faulkner came in here to say, all you Christians, you're out of here. You're going to move out of San Diego County. We're going to take your houses, your jobs, all your stuff. How much love would there be for the government of San Diego? Not much. And there was not much love for the Romans, especially for the church in Rome. And Paul says, submit. And they said, I thought it was going to be different. We're going to take a look at Romans 13 today, folks. And I'm telling you, it's a challenge. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which has been established, that which God has established. God gives us a position of submission. You like that rope? Just thriving on that? Say, next week I'm going to be just looking who I can submit to at work, on the job, on the road. How many of you guys just loving that idea? Yeah, let me submit to everybody around me. Let me submit to the police that are out there with their guns drawn. Just looking forward to that. You know what? Our president, in the news this week, says, by executive order, I am going to make a change on our immigration policy. Now, there are a lot of people, especially in this neighborhood, who say, man, that is the best thing that can possibly happen. There's a lot of people who are incredibly angry with him and see that he is going to bypass Congress in this whole thing. But whether or not you like it or you hate it, Paul says, you need to submit to this. That our president has been put in place not by your vote, but by God Almighty. This big shakeup in the Senate that happened this last week, not by your vote. God did it. And realistically, we've got things pretty good in the United States. Easy to brush over this text. Okay, no speeding. You know, I have been convicted. Not that convicted, but, I mean, that I should start wearing my seatbelt. And I just remembered I didn't wear my seatbelt going to church today. Feel bad. Pay taxes, wear your seatbelt. You know what? We got it pretty easy. You know what? Oh, there's a picture that's missing. Oh, no, it's later. Okay. Much more difficult to say live in North Korea or the Sudan. In the Sudan, 1.5 million Christians have been killed in the last 30 years because they're Christian. Paul says, submit. We read that and we have to think, man, he can't have been talking about situations like this. ISIS and the like. But we got to remember that they lived in Rome. Rome demanded that Caesar be worshipped as God. The authorities of the day, like Herod, had the ability to order the death, the killing of all infant boys 2 years old and younger in and around Bethlehem without challenge. I mean, can you imagine our president ordering that? Can you imagine the backlash? Herod was able to do it and had all the Romans to back him up. Could have been his personal guard in the temple. Bad stuff's going on in Rome. And if you take a look at history, things are getting ready to get a lot worse. God knows. Paul said, submit to every authority. This is a challenge, amen?
Amen.
Read the second half of that over and into the next verse. It says, there is no authority except that which has been God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. And I want to let you know this morning that indeed God is on the job. Because no matter if you love him or hate him, our president, from the text, has been established by God. And you say, wait a minute. Some of you might say, of course. But some of you might say, wait a minute. He is no friend of the church. He is a staunch supporter of abortion. He is a friend of the Muslims. How can God have established him? Not only has our president been established by the Lord, but also has Mahmoud Abinadad? The other guy, Kim Jong-un. Both, by this text, have been established by God. Nero killed Peter, killed Paul. Burned Christians on crosses to light his gardens. Established by God. How can God establish these bad guys? I just can't get my head around that. You say, well, who can God establish? Our presidents. Up there. Who's God going to establish? Maybe Reagan. Maybe you hated Reagan. But realistically, none of these men function in a way that was solely focused on the Lord. They were the president. They had to order people killed. They had to do all kinds of stuff. I say this Because obviously the text tells us that God put each one of them in there, right? But what we want to do is say, well, God put in the good guys and somebody else puts in the bad guys. And Paul is saying, no, 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 no. God puts all of them in because God is on the job and God is in control. So we have to ask ourselves, if God doesn't, you know, what's the alternative? If God doesn't put them in, the bad guys I'm talking about, who does? You know, is it just the world run amok? Have they just chosen poor leaders? Well, we in the United States, we get to vote, and we get to vote in bad guys if we want. Amen? But you know what? You take a look at China, you take a look at North Korea, there's not a whole lot of voting going on there. And you say, well, if God's not putting them in, who's putting them in? Satan? Well, that kind of gives Satan a whole lot of power, doesn't it? Maybe see a picture of God up there going, oh, no. Abinadab is in there. What do we do? What do we do? You know what? None of this comes as a surprise to God. I passed out last week the daily reading plan. Anybody read that this week, by the way? I'll tell you, sat down with my wife and read, and part of the reading was from Job. And the opening picture of Job is God in heaven with his angels and the devil before him. You say, wait a minute. How can Satan be before the Lord? I'll just tell you right off, Satan is no threat to God. Amen? Amen. And he even says to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Because I like Job. And the devil says, Job is not anything. You let me have my hands on Job, let me do a little stuff, and you'll see how fast Job's going to turn his back on you. This is not going to happen. And Satan begins to attack Job, his family, even in his body where he's covered with sores. And the Bible tells us that as Job processes through this whole challenge, that the end of Job's life was better than the first. Amen. You know, you take a look at the cross. Jesus Christ crucified, killed, lied on by the very leaders of the temple that he was sent to reach out to. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I've come to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not have me. The greatest action of evil ever perpetrated in history. God is so mighty and God is so awesome to twist that act and turn it into his greatest act of redemption. Amen? And so we get worried about Kim Jong-un or Kim Jong-il or Kim Jong-whoever. And God is so much bigger. See, if we can get our eyes upon the Lord and know that the end is better than the beginning, that the end is better than the now, all of a sudden the choices that we make now will be changed because we have the mercy of God. Amen? Amen. It doesn't get any easier after this, folks. This is just verse 1. All right. Just letting you know. Verses 2 and 3. Consequently, because of this, consequently, you know what consequently means? He who rebels against the authority, he who rebels against Kim Jong-un, Abinadab, Mahmoud, whatever his last name is, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against that which God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. I'll tell you, I was struggling with this all week. Do you want to be free from the fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. We have to trust in the plan of God. Paul says here that there is danger in rebellion. The danger is persecution and judgment. That persecution and that judgment will come to you and come to your house. Can you imagine the people across the street, if the cops had just showed up and they were just going to kill them because they were them. Paul says, man, they're going to come after you. Keep your head down. Submit to authorities. Why? Well, partly because of the expulsion of the Jews and the Christians in 49 AD. See, the Jews were always rebellious. They didn't like paying the taxes. They tried to catch Jesus, says, hey, should we pay the taxes? Jesus says, what? Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, unto God what is God's. The zealots, they were always whipping up the Jews, saying, no, 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 we can't have this. We got to kick them out. We got to be free. And there was rebellion after rebellion after rebellion, and they paid the price. This was written in the late 60s. In 70 AD, Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans because of rebellion. 1.1 million Jews killed, men, women, and children, because of rebellion, and much of it over rebellion over taxes. We just hate these guys. And they destroyed the temple, and they destroyed everything. Paul said, this is coming. Don't let it come to you. So you ask yourself, there's a couple big questions here. One of the big questions is when can I disobey? Can I ever? Is there a situation when I do not submit to the authorities? One situation, covered a lot of stuff. If the authorities ever tell you to reject or disobey God, you do not have to submit to that. Amen. Now, you might go to jail and you might be killed, but you do not have to submit. If you are in China and you are a Christian, you do not have to submit to forced abortion. You might go to jail and you might be killed, but you do not have to submit. If you are in Iran, if you are in Iraq, if you are in Syria, and the authorities tell you that you must give up your Christian faith and become a Muslim, you do not have to submit. You might be killed. You might be imprisoned. But you do not, biblically, have to submit. This isn't what I thought it was going to be, Pastor. Oh, yeah. Peter talks about it. Peter is ministering about the same time, writing this about the same time, in modern-day Turkey. And he says, 1 Peter chapter 4, 15 and 16, if you suffer, you say, wait a minute. I'm a Christian. There should be no suffering. I signed up to end suffering. This isn't what I thought it was going to be, Pastor. Right, because he says, if you suffer, that means that there will be some who suffer. Can I get a witness on that? Greek, English, it don't matter. Spanish, if you suffer, that means some are going to suffer. You should suffer not because you're a murderer, a thief, or any kind of criminal. Don't suffer because you're doing bad. He says, however, if you suffer as a Christian, say, wait a minute, there can be suffering just because I'm a Christian? It's in the book. Jesus talked about it. They're coming after you. They hated me. They're going to hate you. This isn't what I signed up for. Well, sorry, I got to give you the real picture today. If you suffer as a Christian, don't be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. You see, how can you do that? If you live with an eye on the end, if you live with an eye on heaven, how long does heaven last? Forever. How long's your car going to last? My house, not forever. How long's your house going to last? Not forever. How long are your kids going to be alive? Well, they make it happen. I mean, realistically, I'm sorry. Everybody lives forever. The question is, where are you going to spend eternity? You spend eternity in heaven? You know what? Submitting or rejecting the government in China is a small thing. What's their greatest challenge? What's their greatest threat? Heaven? That is our greatest reward. And if you live with that view in mind, if you know that the end is better than the beginning, if you know that the end is better than the now, And you don't sweat the now so much. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Where are we at? All right. Verses 4 and 5. For he is God's servant to do you good. Go back and read the phrase. Then do what is right, and he will commend you. He's talking about the ruler. For he is God's servant to do you good, but if you do wrong, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. And Paul is saying, don't get on the wrong side of the Lord. Don't get on the wrong side of the plan of God because there is injustice around you. Because he's saying there's going to be injustice. And sometimes that injustice is going to be pointed at you. But as much as you are able, submit to the authorities, pay your taxes, and that injustice is going to be going someplace else. Does that make sense? He's saying, keep your head down now. Live your life telling people about the Lord. Live your life not fighting politics, but lifting up the kingdom of God. Because that's how you affect change in the world. That's how you're going to make a change. You know, I heard somebody talking about the lack of impact of Christians in politics, in the vote. That 25% of Christians are even registered to vote. Why? It's such a great tool. Because there's a lot. But say, you know what? My citizenship is not here. I am not engaged in this. My wife so struggles with that. You know, I didn't. Well, anyway. We're moving right on. It doesn't have anything to do with my wife. I mean, I didn't vote last time. Well, I didn't vote for president. Because I cannot bring myself to vote for somebody who is a proponent of abortion. Cannot do it. It is a litmus test for me. If you want to talk to me about that, I'd happily talk about that with you. But God brings life. And I cannot vote for a Mormon. Cannot do that. He stands for a lot of good stuff, but he stands for it in the wrong reason. Politics can cause you to become an ally to your enemy. God says, what are you doing? He tells us to love our enemies. He never tells us to vote for them. That's a side note. Hoping I didn't freak everybody out. I just can't do it. All right. Don't get on the wrong side of the plan of God. They are intended to do good. See, the big questions that we have on this, are, when can I disobey? Right? When can I disobey? And what happens when these guys are not doing what God wants them to do? What happens when these guys are not doing good? He says they're instilled to keep order. What happens with ISIS? These guys, I looked it up this morning. They got some UN stuff that's out. They are killing, raping, murdering, beheading, stoning, and then they crucify. They don't crucify them alive. What they do is they take the dead bodies and hang them up for like 2, 3, 4 days until they smell so bad as a display of what it means to rebel against them. Now, I do not believe that they are, in my heart, could be wrong. I'll talk with you probably less long on this than the other thing I was talking about. But I think this happens in the absence of authority. Because there was a breakdown in the government of Syria with the civil war, and in the aftermath of that civil war, and in the absence of authority, ISIS pops out. And it's just savage and ravaged. And in the absence of a stable government in Iraq, because we're out of there, it just flows right in there, and what you have is just evil on rampage. God instills authority so that stuff does not happen. Now, there's other bad guys out there, Kim Jong-un, who take Christians and imprison them, and any people that are against their regime or would speak out in China and in Sudan, 1.5 million Christians killed. I mean, there's so much savagery that is done against a Christian. What happens then? Well, realistically, folks, that's God's problem. Because Paul's telling us that God put them in. God's going to deal with them. Amen? Most dangerous places to live for Christians: North Korea, Afghanistan, Saudi Arabia, Somalia, and Iran. That is from 2012. Obviously, Iraq and Syria would be at the top of the list now. I have 30 or so copies of a description of what is going on, the type of government. The first is North Korea, which is atheist. The other five, and in fact, this comes from a report of nine, the other nine are all Islamic countries. Laos is on there, was on the 2011 list. It is Buddhist. So you got one atheist, and you got nine Islamic countries that are the most dangerous places for Christians to live. They're authorities. You're a Christian in those countries, and you can read about them. I encourage you to do so. Paul says, keep your head down, pay your taxes, submit to the authorities, and live like crazy for the Lord. God's in control. God will deal with Kim Jong-un. God will deal with the leaders of Iran, Somalia. Let me tell you a story about Nebuchadnezzar. Read about him in Daniel chapter 4. Much of Daniel's regards around Nebuchadnezzar's reign. But Nebuchadnezzar, to help you, 586 B.C., the Israelites had fallen into idolatry, and God over and over through his prophets had said, I'm coming. Well, he came in 586 B.C., brought in the Babylonians, and they destroyed Jerusalem and they destroyed the temple. Very similar to what happened in 70 A.D. Now, it takes about 6 or 7 months to get from the Holy Land, from Israel, back to Iraq, because you've got to go north through Assyria and stuff. It takes a while, especially if you're walking. Especially if you're all beat up, you got prisoners and slaves and all that kind of stuff. Now, Nebuchadnezzar is back. He's the king, right? He's not out there killing people. He's got generals and stuff who do that. Daniel chapter 4 is a story of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of kings, right? He's just like the most powerful guy on the planet. And he gets a dream about a tree. Tree's got mold or moss, everything growing on it. You can read about it in Daniel chapter 4. And he goes to Daniel and says, Daniel, what does this mean? He says, the tree is you, O king. And as this tree kind of lost it, you're going to lose it. And you're going to be out eating grass and living with the wild animals until you acknowledge God Most High. And so Nebuchadnezzar goes crazy. And here is the king of kings, so to speak, who is out with the animals eating grass. At the same time, the slaves from Jerusalem are coming into Baghdad. And they say, wow, the guy who killed us is out there crazy in the field, huh? Nebuchadnezzar comes too, and he says, there is no God but God Most High. And realistically, we don't hear a lot about Nebuchadnezzar after that. God puts him in place. God's going to deal with him. Amen. God's able to do that. What we got to do is keep our eyes on heaven. Submit to the situations that we're in and live fiercely for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Boy, this is just a peppy, happy sermon today, isn't it? I'm telling you, man, I've been struggling with this week. All right. Point number three, pay your taxes. You want to make it easier on yourself? You want to not be a target? Pay your taxes. It says, this is also why you pay taxes. For the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Now, I want to let you know, at least in Jerusalem, at least in the Holy Land, and I'm sure it was rampant in the Roman culture or civilization, taxes were a complete scam. The tax collectors worked on commission. They would collect the taxes, and then they would take a cut for themselves. And they had the military behind them, and they would rip you off. And everybody knew it. They were thieves. In fact, the Pharisees were talking to Jesus' disciples, and they say, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? I mean, they were up there. I mean, all the other sinners, you know, the murderers, prostitutes, killers, all that stuff, they were all just sinners. And then the tax collectors were their own specific group. Why? Because they were hated. Nowhere in the text does it say, this has got to stop. You know what? We're going to take all of our authority within from the Lord, and we're just going to make this right. We're not going to be ripped off anymore. Nowhere in the text. Now, we hear a lot of preachers preaching that today. But amazingly, Jesus never did. Paul never did, and Peter never did. Peter said, pay the taxes. Get ripped off? Get ripped off. Just don't get killed. How can they do that? It's just not right. I think the Lord says, and I think Peter says, and I think Paul says, dude, you're being ripped off on your taxes. Where's your focus? You got your focus on heaven? What does it matter if you're getting ripped off a little bit on your taxes? Submit. Because the end is going to be better than the now. You live your life like that, you're not going to be worried so much about the now. You're going to be living your life as what? A sacrifice. You're going to do whatever it takes so that you can get that message of the Lord out. Amen?
Amen.
Now, you get to be American. You get to vote. You get to say, hey, I'm not going to vote for, I don't like whatever you don't like. Some of you guys like stuff. I don't want to get you mad at me about what I don't like. But you get to be American. Okay, you get to vote. You can run for you can run for mayor. Church will be for you, but we're not going to do it for you because we're going to still be the church. See, the problem is we get so involved socially and politically that we forget our focus on heaven, and that's what Paul says: don't lose your focus. Dude, you got eternal life. You've got the mercy of God, and you're worried about a few bucks getting ripped off from your taxes? Pay them. Worried about your house getting taken away by the government? Let them have it. Why? How can I do that? Because you've got heaven coming at you. The only way you can do that.
Amen?
Amen? The only amens I'm really getting today are from Paul. And I think he's just doing it because I'm up here and he's going, man, nobody's done man, and I'm going to man him. You can be American, you can vote, you can like candidates, that's fine. Just don't lose your priority. Amen?
Amen.
We got to live with a view on the end. Now, it's like, okay, this sounds more churchy to me. All right, here we go. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. Now, doesn't that just sound like church?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah. Whew, let's get off the first seven verses, man. The submission thing, man. All right, here we go. We got Ten Commandments stuff. Oh, it feels good to be back in church. It says, except the continuing debt to love one another, for he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. Glory. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there be are summed up in this one rule, love your neighbor as yourself. Whew! Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Man, that just feels good to just read this. And do this understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber because our salvation is nearer now than we first believe. Feels like church now. I got the Ten Commandments, partial list, love your neighbor as yourself. You're loving your neighbor. You're not going to be ripping them off, beating them down. God is good. It says you got to remember the present time. Heaven is nearer now than it's ever been before. There is a rider that is coming on a white horse. He is called Faithful and True. He has a robe, white robe, dipped in blood. On his thighs written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And he is bringing judgment for the nations and reward for those who are his. And his reward is greater than anything we now possess or even can imagine. Paul describes the mercy of God. How we get it, how he provided it, first chapters of Romans. And then he describes a response. Sacrifice. Service to the body. Love to enemies. Submission to the government. Really thought it was going to be different. Ready to sign up? It's a challenge. Complete life change. Not a lot of preaching on Romans 13 in the church today. Sounds like you're speaking of a great surrender. It's not me. It's Paul. But I want to let you know that the end is worth it. Sam, you want to play me a little something? The end is better. It's like with Job, man. He was going through such drama. The end is better than the beginning. The end is better than the now. Nero burned Christians. They fed Christians to the lions. There was 10 great persecutions by the Romans visited upon the Christians. They would wrap them in animal skins and put them out on the Colosseum floor. Really don't know how many Christians were killed by the Romans. Many would say greater than 100,000. Paul says submit. Surrender, submit, pay your taxes. 312 AD. Emperor of Rome received Christ as a Savior. 381 AD. Christianity became the official and only legal religion for the entire Roman Empire. Plan of God can work, folks. Plan of God does work.
Yes.
Lord, you are so mighty and so awesome. Lives of thanks, Lord. They seem so different than what we had expected. But you are so worth it, Lord. Our government's not going to take us home, but you will, Lord. Our government offers us pennies on the dollar, Lord. Help us to not surrender to them, but to surrender to you, Lord. That you are indeed the author of our faith. Do you know the end from the beginning? Do you know the hairs on our heads, Lord? The days that we shall live. Lord, whoever is president over this country, he is your man. And Lord, we turn him over to you, Lord. Our job is to submit, to surrender, and to keep our eyes on heaven. It is a challenge to end this service. But Lord, your name is faithful and true. And Lord, there is reward that is coming. Lord, you're coming on a horse. You're going to take down the enemy. I'm going to trust you for that. Stand with me, would you? Worship team, you can come. Just going to ask you just to process this. We're going to sing some songs. Find a way. Make this real in your life this week.